Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hi there, and welcome to The Inevitable. This is our new podcast where we're talking about the future of the car. This means everything from electrified vehicles to cars that drive themselves. Where are we going and how will we get there? I'm Johnny Lieberman from Motor Trend, joined by
Ed Lowe, and we are going to talk to some amazing guests. We have Reggie Watts, we have Sung Kang, we have James Marsden, we have Spike Ferriston, Kristen Lee, Derek Jenkins, a whole bunch of actors, celebrities, car crazy folks, people from in and outside the industry. It's going to be great, and you can find it on podcastone.com or anywhere you find you listen to your favorite podcast. We're also doing a video series as well. That's on motortrend.com/theinevitable or on youtube.com/motortrend. Come join us.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. Oh, we've got a fun show today. We're going to mix things up a little bit. Goldberg is off to, where is he? Dubai? Do you know where he's going, Chris? Is he going to Abu Dhabi?
Yeah,
Dubai?
Somewhere out there.
Somewhere out there. He's going out there to WWE. He's going out there to wrestle. So we knew he was going to be off this week. We'll catch up with him next week. But like to welcome my co-host on Shift and Steer, Brad Fanshawe, is here sitting in with us. What's up? How are you?
How you doing? Great. Doing fantastic. I'm trying to fill the chair as much as I can. I'm not as large, but I'll be in charge.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being here. And we have a great guest, our longtime friend of the show. He's been in here many times. He used to come to the studio, but now he's too busy because he's a team owner. Ron Capps, NHRA, reigning champion, NHRA, reigning champion, Ron Capps. Oh, man, this is going to be an exciting year. How are you, Ron?
Good. As you can see, I'm in a bar. It's probably the perfect way to start my morning
before Pomona.
Yeah, right.
We're the world famous Sheraton Fairplex. I know Brad and I were talking. This has been a pretty busy joint come race weekend, as well as the LA Roadster Show. So, yeah, I'm good. It's just good to be here. We're kicking off this week. It's Winter Nationals. It's crazy. I know Brad and I we got big shoes to fill with Goldberg being out. But yeah, it's fun.
Goldberg knew you were going to be on the show. He apologizes that he's going to miss it, says hello, and he really wanted to do it. But, you know, what can we say? He's on a plane, and I guess Gage is going with him. I don't know. If you guys have been keeping up with the WWE storyline, but, you know, Gage has been part of this story. The last, two matches ago, he had to like get into the ring and jump on the back of Bobby Lashley and start choking him out. If you guys know Bobby Lashley, he's got to be damn near 300 pounds and just solid muscle. He's just a wall of a man, but a sweet guy. And there was a great bit after the fact that Gage jumps on Lashley, you know, Lashley throws him over. And he's like, oh, I didn't know it was your son, but this is what you get, Goldberg. You deserve this. And Bill goes over and grabs Gage and holds him. And he's like, I can't believe you did this to my kid. And then you see for an instant Gage smile a little bit. And I saw it, like, I saw it on camera. And I called him out afterward. And he goes, he was smiling because Bill was holding him and squeezing him, going, don't you dare smile. Don't you dare smile. It was like whispering in his ear the whole time. So it was a fantastic event. Great to be part of the storyline. But anyway, that's what they're doing. They're heading off to a WWE match. All right. So NHRA is coming up this weekend. If you guys are going to be in Pomona, come out to the event. I'm sure you can get tickets online. If not, I'm sure you can get tickets at the gate as well. We've always said, you know, going to live events is fantastic. Before COVID hit us, we reached out to several organizations to give out tickets to live events. NHRA was one of them, and the condition was you had to call us back. Whoever won tickets, got free tickets, had to call us back onto the show and tell us about going to the event. So we gave out tickets to – I think we gave out tickets to the Winter Nationals in Pomona. We gave out some tickets to NASCAR in Bristol, and we gave out some tickets to Indy, to the IndyCar series at Laguna Seca, and – it was great to catch up with our listeners that went to those events. But I've always said about NHRA, the reason why you have to go is it is so intense, the feeling when these cars go firing down the strip. It's not just the noise, but you can feel it across your entire body. Like, it feels, you feel this pressure. It's just insane. And you think headphones are going to do your justice. They don't. You stand there and you have headphones on, and then you're smashing the headphones in your ear with your hands or your fists going, holy shit. It's just it's an intense feeling. So looking forward to the event this weekend. Now, Ron, you've been at this game for some time now, going on 28 years as a professional driver. 17 years with Don Schumacher Racing, right? So can you hear it all?
Huh?
Can, yeah, right?
That's too easy. Yeah, it's been, you know, I was lucky. I grew up on the sport, and I was lucky that my parents took care of my ears when I was a kid. My dad raced, and we would go to, you know, back in the day, Lions. I was there at the last race as like a seven-year-old. And Fremont and Riverside. I remember going all those tracks as a kid. So thankfully, my mom always made sure we had ear protection on because, yeah, people don't know, and it's an assault on every one of your senses when you come to a drag race. I mean, completely, as you said. It's like going to a hockey game. I mean, TV just doesn't do it a whole lot of justice. But right. Once you've been to one live, then it changes the whole perspective of TV, and especially of a fan coming out. So, yeah, it's been a long time. Brad and I, we actually have a lot of history because years ago when I drove for Don Prudhomme, my rookie year, him and I got together with the Bonneville Watches and the Bond Speed. And
yeah,
that whole thing was fun to do because I was new. I was a rookie, first of all, but driving for the Snake, I mean, it was like one of my heroes. So it's been a long time, but it just, I've always taken care. You look out and see fans, and sometimes they got kids with them and they got no ear protection on it. It's one of my huge pet peeves. It drives me crazy that there's a kid they're holding has no control over protecting their own ears, and yet this parent is out there and there's cars firing up and whacking a throttle, and you know, like you said, it's 12,000 horsepower, so it's an incredible sound, but it can certainly hurt your ears.
Yeah, so definitely bring ear protection and don't be afraid to wear them the whole time. You would benefit from it. But let's talk about how, you know, sort of getting started. We've got a lot of exciting news to talk about as well. But you said that you were going to the track early as a kid. Did you have family members that were racers or just fans and they were bringing you there?
Oh, no. Dude, my mom drove, which is a trip because, you know, you had Shirley Muldowney, Cha-Cha Muldowney, that everybody knows. And it was for me, everybody talked about this first lady dragster driver, and I grew up with one. I mean, my dad, when he built cars, and we had a track in Santa Maria and San Luis Obispo, is where I grew up on the Central Coast, but we would make these treks with my dad down to Irwindale and all these tracks in Southern California, of course, Pomona. And my mom, early on, before I was born, when my dad was running around the streets, you know, he had one of the faster cars back, you know, you look at American Graffiti and those kind of movies. Yeah. That's kind of how it was when my dad grew up. I used to hear the stories. But he got more satisfaction after putting my 4'8" mom into his street cars and later became race cars, putting a 2x4 on the gas and sending her up to beat guys. And that was his thing. So my mom, when I was a kid, my dad had an altered, and he helped a lot of local people with dragsters. My mom would be packing the parachutes, working on the race car at night. It was, so that was normal to me. So later on in life, you know, here's Shirley Downey, and I read about her, but my mom raced. So my mom and dad, I grew up thankfully around it, going to Bakersfield and all those tracks constantly. And that was my childhood. So I love it. That's why I'm kind of a throwback to those old days, you know, and the vintage cars and the March meet nostalgia scene. It's just, it takes me right back to our childhood.
Brad's probably got a poster. Brad's probably got a vintage poster from every one of those races because he doesn't throw any shit away. He's got just stacks and stacks.
Oh, I got them in my garage too. I love
He's got stacks. But Brad's got 47 copies of them.
The you know, Ron mentioned something about you know, back when we were sponsoring, when my company was sponsoring him and Snake's team, and you talk about going to the drag strip and you can only get the sensory perception being there. One of the very first times. Now, my wife has been to many drag races and many before that. But this particular time, we were in the pits. Ron was getting ready to do the test fire when it's up, you know, off the ground. And Ron's sitting in the car. And my wife walked over to check it out just as he fired it up. And she got a nice shot of nitro right in the face. And Ron, as you know, first time her lungs contracted and I thought she was going to die. You know, she freaked out. Now, whenever anybody even walks towards a car to start it up, she's gone. She's, you know, off out of the pits and gone. But that's part of the fun because it is, it's the sights, the smell, the sound, and the reverberation when those cars go down the track. I mean, we feel it in the stands. And Ron, you and I had a conversation years and years ago, and I asked you, what was it like the first time you ever went down the track? And you told me something hilarious. Do you remember what you said the first time you ever took a pass in a funny car?
Did I shit my shorts?
It was kind of like that, yeah. Well, I said, what was it like? And you said, how the hell do I know? And you said, when you got to the end, they were all jumping up going, How did it handle? And you're like, I don't know. I was just along for the ride. And you told me it took maybe 13 passes before you could even get a little bit of an idea of what the car was doing or comprehend it all.
Yeah, it's crazy because you got to – good morning. Although the publicists are all rolling into town. You got to imagine. It's 0 to 100 in less than 1 second. On top of that, it's – upwards of 5.5-6 G's. So it's crazy to imagine somebody, and you step on the gas even after a few runs, but when you're getting your license, you step on the gas and you're catapulted over 5.5-6 G's. That's more than anything on the planet but a fighter pilot. It's more than a space shuttle pilots go through. So your brain can't comprehend. We all dig cars, right? This is why we're all sitting here talking. You love to step on a gas, bang gears. That there's nothing like that feeling. Imagine your body weighing over 5.5, almost 6 times that. Your brain can't imagine that it's sticking. Somehow that Goodyear tire is sticking the track and you cannot even fathom moving that quick. And your brain is telling you, it's trying to relay to your right foot, stop. Whatever this is doing, and it's scaring my body. And your brain cannot get over it. And it tries to tell you to lift every time. So the running joke is, when somebody's brand new in a top fuel car or a funny car, you're like, they're going to go out there and their foot's going to come off and they're going to go, I didn't mean to. Well, your brain is like, what is going on? And on top of that, everything just, it's like hyperspace, like that first Battlestar Galactica movie where it just, they hit that hyperspace and all the lines go flying by. That's what it's like. And then on top of that, the clutch comes in, the motor gets quieter as you start accelerating over 300. So everything's so weird and backwards. You would think the noise would be more. You're going through some amazing G-force that your body is freaking out over, and your brain's trying to tell it to stop. And you're trying to overcome that by holding your right foot down. So you throw all of that together, it's the most intense, crazy. And like Brad said, the vibration, the noise, we get that in the car, although not as much as in the grandstands. But it's it is hard to get used to.
And then
once you do it, it's hard. It's like an addiction, right? Then you can't ever – you try to excel that every time.
Sometimes you're Larry Dixon and you just decide to spin around in the middle of the track in a top hill car. So sometimes that happens. I was talking to my friends a while back, Melanie Troxell, and she's like, and we had the same conversation, like what it's like to launch and drive this car. And then it explains it like you did. And then she said, but keep in mind, you got to stop when you get to the end. So when you hit the chutes and you're stopped, she goes, that's where the real G-forces really start to play a factor. You know, it's just like, you know, you got to stop that damn thing and you don't have much room to do it.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that part. When you hit the parachute, it's like -7 or 8 G's.
So yeah.
It's crazy. You throw all that in a little amount of time. Going fast is fun. On the track's fun. When the chutes hit on a crazy run in a funny car, you want to get out and kiss the ground sometimes, like one of those little commuter flights, you know, in weather where you're just happy to get on the ground. That's what it's like sometimes at Pomona here, especially. It's a short, probably the shortest shutdown. And it's one of the oldest, most historic racetracks, but there's no room at the end. We're right in the heart of Laverne and Pomona, right? There's mm-hmm. You've been here. There's houses and a golf course.
Oh, yeah.
So they can't just lengthen this track. So it's crazy to go 338 miles an hour here at Pomona, and then somehow those parachutes get you stopped to make that turn before you go off in that sand and that net.
Hey, let me ask you a kind of a strange question. When you say there's all that G-force when you're stopping, when you first started driving the funny car, did you get any bruises from your straps?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how deep you want me to go in this conversation.
yeah.
Let's leave it above the waist.
Yeah. When I jumped through them early, I wanted to get up in the cockpit to see over the injector the first time in a funny car. Of course, you're driving for the snake. You don't want to be a wuss and tell them you're having a hard time seeing, right? Because this is a guy in the 60s on fire and smoke all around him. So in doing so, I put rags under the seat. Well, when I put the rags under the seat has a cup. And when you hit the parachutes, that cup is supposed to catch your rear end and kind of help you on those forward Gs. This is way before Hans devices. So in doing so, it made the seat level when I put the padding and the rags in.
So the seat's flat now. So instead of your butt sitting in a bucket, right? The seat's flat. Okay. So
the first run I make, and I made several before I finally told Snake, I had to go to a hospital, but the crotch strap, which obviously rides right
in
the crotch area, that took the brunt of everything. I would slide into that every time the parachutes would hit. And I had one of my boys downstairs, one of my stones was like this big. And it looked like oatmeal inside of it. And I thought, uh-oh, I did something bad. And it took me a while to tell Snake what was going on. He goes, you dummy. You can't do that in a seat. But he thought it was funny that I was
doing everything. I feel bad for laughing about it now. But
oh, yeah. Well, my wife laughs. But it's a running joke with my close friends is they call me Uniballer now.
Uniballer.
So I guess the answer to that is yes.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So
there's a story. I'm not sure I ever told that before. In the bar, it's a good story.
All right. Well, let's make sure that Uniballer is up on the side of the car next to your name.
I'm like, sure now I can see it already.
You know. Well, you got the championship. You're going into the season as the reigning champ. So congratulations on that. And then somewhere in the midst of this, you decided to. I don't know, just challenge yourself and said, maybe now's the right time to become a team owner. Tell us how that came to happen. Obviously you had been thinking about it for a while. And when do you find the right time?
It's like you guys, at some point you want to control your destiny. You want your own company. You want your own business. You want your own podcast, right? The ultimate is to be a team owner, and it's the American dream to have a small business that you can call your own. And what I've waited for all these years, driving for the Snake for almost 10 years, and then Don Schumacher, someday hoping the chance would come up. My teammate Antron Brown started the process a couple years ago and got going out on his own. And luckily, he was sharing information with me. So it was nice that I kind of had this something to feed off of him, what he was doing. But I hope the time would come, because you need a sponsor. I can't just go, I'm going to go off on my own. I don't have another business like some of these, you know, owners or drivers that this is sort of a thing they do on the side and they have a multi-million dollar business. I didn't have that. I've only been a professional race car driver, and I was hired to be a drag racer. So I didn't have a lot of money to go do it on my own. And luckily, I decided to do it last year. Something happened in the pandemic. Like a lot of us, it touched me in a certain way that I felt like we were all vulnerable of what was going on. Where was the next paycheck going to come? What happens if we get shut down? So that kind of all of those things together made me make the move. And I was a free agent anyway. So in Indy last year in September, I told the team owner, Don Schumacher, I was going to go out on my own and try to be a team owner and driver. So that's how it started. Luckily, Napa Auto Parts, they were going to be getting out of the sport. They decided they wanted to be a part of what I was doing. And it's cool because I think a lot of people forget Napa Auto Parts. When you drive by whatever one you ever see on the side of the road, they're not a franchise. They're all owned by people in your neighborhood and your local friends. And it's not something just a big box store. So I have all these people to feed off of being with Napa for 14 years, business side of things. And so it just all kind of accumulated in September, Napa, late October. And you got to remember, I'm in the middle of our playoffs to win a world championship while this is going on, not knowing my future, then finding out that Napa wanted to be a part of it, but not having anything I can do until the season ended, which I think Brad came out to the race. So in November, you're trying to win a championship. You're trying to get these signatures to find out that you do have a sponsor for the following year being a team owner. And you could not have scripted it better. You win the world championship.
Yeah.
You get a signature about a week and a half later from the president at Napa that they're going to jump on board for a multi-year deal with a great sponsor. And now I'm going to be a team owner. And it was just like kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. And next thing I know, I've got a world championship ring and I'm learning about liability and health insurance and payroll and stuff I never thought I would have to worry about. And luckily guys like Don Prudhomme, John Force, I couldn't believe the people that came out were calling me, people I race against, that were asking me if I needed any help at all and however they could help me. So it's been fun and we're finally here.
And what,
that's great. That's kind of that drag racing family though, isn't it, Ron?
It is. It's crazy. You guys have seen it. When somebody blows up or has a problem, the first people that are going to help you are people that you race against. And it's always been that kind of sport. But I didn't have any idea I would get the help and the people really worried and wanted to make sure that I was going to be successful. And, the sport's got to evolve. John Force is John Force. He's everything in the sport, right? He's our Richard Petty. I call him our Tom Brady because literally he's, I don't know how old he is now or what he claims to be, but he's not young. He still kicks our butt out here. So, and he's the biggest name in the sport and you can't deny that. So we need that next generation and you can't have these multi-car teams with seven, controlling pretty much the whole field on a race day, with Coletta and Schumacher and Force. So I think the fans, more than anything, really embraced Antron and myself and whoever going out on our own and taking that step, because it's been amazing with the fans. I mean, I posted the first time I announced that we were doing it on my Facebook, and it was I've never seen so many, likes and just people really genuinely wanting me to do well. So. It's been fun. And Dave Merrick, a mutual friend of all of ours, he's always designed our race cars. He's a badass.
Yeah.
Probably does it in a bar where he does his best work, but he designed our car again. And it's the first time as an owner I got to be a designer with him. And I'm just super excited to bring the car out and, just kind of show what we've been doing for the last couple months.
You know, what you're saying about racing and about the people involved, of course, the fans, which are fantastic. But talk about a volatile sport, like not just the danger of being in the car and all the things that can happen, but just the sport in general always just sort of gets threatened by a number of different things, whether it be politics or track closures or money or whatever, to keep it to survive. And then when you do make an announcement, when Antron Brown makes an announcement, when Leah makes an announcement to do the team with Tony Stewart, what you find is you find the other team owners, the other racers going, I'd like to reach out and offer some help because we can't imagine this sport without you. You're such an important part of what we do out here. And that means a lot, right? When John Forrest says, hey, Caps, you know, fantastic, congratulations, go out on your own, be a team owner, let me know what I can do to help, right? You've got to be a part of this. So let me make sure I can offer something so this doesn't fail, that this keeps moving forward for you, you know? And like you said, Prudhomme, who hasn't, you know, been in a car in forever, I don't know that he's even owned a team in quite some time, but still just very active and as a cheerleader for the sport, like you were saying about John Force as well, just an advocate for the sport. Like, where's it going to go, right? He's, you know, Force is never not going to be at the track, right?
Hope not.
Yeah.
And Snake was the first one I called when I knew I had the letter of intent. I wanted to give back because he picked me out of a litter of a ton of people that I thought were way better, bigger names. And he picked me to drive that funny car. Just kind of, he said he was watching me in the dragster. I was a rookie in Top Fuel and just part-time racing for Roger Prim. But he was watching how I carried myself and how I drove in the car and my interviews. And that was huge. To get picked by Dom Prudhomme is, you know, I can't even tell you. I mean, I was playing with his Hot Wheels. We all probably did, right?
Yeah.
Models. And so he was the first one I called and said, hey, I want you to have a place to come back out. And yeah, he comes to Pomona every year. He lives close. He lives down by me. But I want you, anytime you come out, I want you to come out and give advice, hang out. But I don't want you to have to work and have that aggravation. Because when I stopped driving for him, there was a lot of aggravation going on with his teams and sponsors. And just I could see it, it was eating away at him. And he just didn't enjoy it. And so I said, hey, just come hang out. Just enjoy yourself. Go to the starting line. Have a place to hang out. If you want to give advice ownership wise, give advice. If not, you want to just chill and have people out and hang out and do the Snake thing, hang out. And that was the first phone call I made. And since then, I mean, his wife, Lynn, who did a lot of the success that he had was Lynn Prudhomme behind the scenes. She's been very, very helpful when just things you don't think about, you know, insurance on the trucks and the rigs going down the road.
Right.
And you got to pay all this. There's a lot going on behind. And I thought there was, I had no idea. So that was cool. And really, Snake being able to hang out and just chill. I got to tell you, I was getting on Thanksgiving Day, and I won't tell you who the owner is. He was calling and texting a pretty big name in NASCAR about being involved and helping me be able to buy my team, buy it outright and buy the rigs. And on Thanksgiving Day, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, it was cool that he was really wanting to get that involved to help, because he said, I just don't want to hang out. I want to help a little bit or bring a deal. And I said, hey, that's even better, man.
Yeah.
But so I'm looking forward to having him out, you know, just knowing that he gave me my first shot, not just a shot, but a huge shot. I mean, it was a big deal. It was rock stars for me to be picked by him, and I'll never forget it.
When you told Snake that you were going to start your own team, what was his initial reaction? Was it, why'd you wait so long?
He's
like,
oh my God.
Was like, hey, it's like, I thought you were never going to make this call. I thought you were never going to tell me. He's like, it's been a minute. It's been 27, 28 years. Why didn't you do this a while ago? Or, you know, or was he just like, hey, you know, now's the time.
Yeah, he laughed. He goes, you don't know what you're getting into. But he said, you know, he's always said, you know, I've been watching. You're going to be fine. Everybody loves you. You do well. You do the right stuff. And really, a lot of it I learned from him, taking care of sponsors and the way that he carried himself. So, but he kept laughing. He goes, you are in for a lot. And
yeah.
So when you hear a guy like that say it, you're like, uh-oh, I better button up the boots a little tighter, because this is gonna be a hard ride. And it has been, but we're here. It's crazy that a lot of sleepless nights this past winter time. And I just you know, now I have a payroll, almost $1 million of payroll.
Yep.
And these kids with babies on the way, and you just don't think about all that stuff. And now I woke up this morning, you know, 4 a.m wondering about this. One of our crew guys, their baby's due in March. We're at the Gator Nationals. Like,
mm-hmm.
I want to give him time off to be there for his first baby. And then you start thinking, oh my God, I gotta make this work. They rely on it and they got a baby coming and just the things I never even imagined.
Like,
and that's what people do forget is that behind everything, it's a business and with a lot of moving parts. And that's where you've got to have that ultimate multitasker where you can do all that, Ron. And then the minute you roll up to the line, that all goes away and you focus on the track, right?
Yeah.
Just for 3 seconds. Just for 3 seconds. Then you go and worry about, then you go worry about it again.
Sounds easy, right?
Yeah, it sounds easy. Like even as you start to put all of this stuff together, that's like physically in front of you and you're like, okay, trailers are coming in, car parts are coming in, tools are coming in. Then you've got to sit down with the lawyer. You got to sit down with the tax guy. I mean, like, what are we buying? What are we leasing? What are we writing off? How do we make that work? What's the best way to do it? You know, before we start out, before we just like, hey, we got a check coming in from a sponsor. Now we need to gear up with our stuff. But exactly how do we get that stuff? Are we buying it? Are we leasing it? Are we doing some other program for it? And is there sponsors involved on some of the stuff that we're getting? And what does that mean? And then what do we give them in return? And is it partial cash and partial promotion for those sponsors? It's like
dude, I feel like you just jumped inside my head for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
That is stressing him out, man.
It's exactly right.
Exactly.
So we've been down this road before. Brad and I, of course, have had several businesses. And like you, about a year ago, obviously not in racing, but decided, hey, I don't know why during the pandemic, I was like, I'm going to start a new company. So I got together with Goldberg and a couple of friends of ours and started a beverage company. And it's a lot of that. It's like the money we're raising to bring it in and then everything that we're buying and delays and supply chain issues and we can't get stuff and half our, I just to give you an example, we got aluminum cans for our product and our aluminum cans, because of this whole truck driver issue and the things that are going on, we've been delayed a year, but we've been delayed the last 4 weeks because we couldn't find the cans. The truck driver just took the truck, parked it, locked it, took the keys and left and never came back to work again as part of a protest. Eventually, we found the truck. Contacted the trucking company, and we literally had to send a guy. We had to fly a guy out. He busted the lock off the back of the truck, unloaded the cans into another truck, and started driving them to Iowa, where we're making a product right now. Like, I was like, what?
Basically, interstate hijacking, Ron.
I was like, I don't understand what this is. Is this The Sopranos? Is this The Wire? How is this a real thing? Right. So,
I hope you documented all that.
I was like, should he be wearing a GoPro camera the whole time? They're like, we're not sure we want this documented. And I was like, okay, but just the phone calls and the emails and the texts that I get, and like you're saying, just day and night of people going, we've got a solution. We're getting a guy out there with bolt cutters to get into the back of the truck. I was like, how is this a real thing? It's like, this isn't like a new business we just started a minute ago, right? And
have you seen the Mark Wahlberg documentary that I'm not sure what channel it's on?
Oh,
it was him starting some.
Yeah,
it's a documentary that he started, that shirt company, some other things on the side, and it went right into the pandemic. Like, they filmed, and right when the pandemic, it's a great series. I saw it on the airplane, and I forget what it's called, but it's Mark Wahlberg, and it's a great example of what happened, like you and people that started something, and then the pandemic hit right in the middle of it.
Yeah, the whole thing is nuts. So hopefully, first of all, hopefully most of everything you're using is made in the U.S. because that does help.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, it's the help and advice from friends is invaluable. When you think about it, is Perdomo building a race team or anyone building a race team in the 60s, they're kind of just going through it and going, we're not exactly sure how this process works. We're not sure where the parts are coming from or what to pay the people and how to handle it. And that's going to grow over time. The same thing when we were putting together our company, we try to call and get advice from the best people in the business. And even then, they're constantly going, oh, yeah, well, you know, this fell off the truck, quote unquote, right? So now a pallet of someone's product is missing, just missing. I'm sure someone's drinking it. We just don't know where it is. And financially, we're all screwed on the deal. But there's a lot there. So the question, getting back to when you sit down with Schumacher and you say, hey, I think now's the time. I'm going to go out on my own. I'm going to build my team. How does that conversation go? What's Schumacher's reaction to that?
Well, I told him in Indy, which was our last race before our playoffs, which we call the countdown to the championship. It's also Indy's our biggest race. It's our Super Bowl. It's the U.S. Nationals. But I wanted to let him know as early as I knew that I was going to start looking at some things and going out on my own. I didn't want to wait the last minute and have word get out. I wanted to be straight up and honest with him. And I also, to be frank, if I got a deal, because I was already working on a couple things that were maybes, I wanted the word to get out. So at least some people and sponsors knew with some lead time and not right at the season when, you know, as you know, a lot of businesses have their money tied up for the following year already done. So I wanted a couple reasons. Let the word get out. I want to let Don know early. And if I did get a deal, I wanted to look at what it would take to bring it and run it out of the same area I'd been for the last 17 years, which right at DSR, the great hospitality. You guys have both been there.
Mm-hmm.
Good people working there. The chassis that were built by our in-house shop that, you know, my life relies on, but great success with them. Won a lot of races, won two championships. So I wanted to keep that going. It was mass exodus. You mentioned Tony Stewart. Don had 18.
Antoine Brown.
Years ago. Antoine Brown. But he had four funny cars, four dragsters just a few years ago. And now Tony Stewart took two teams. Antoine Brown was leaving. And now here I was leaving. He's down to one car. But that wasn't even a for sure. But Tony Schumacher, we now know, is driving that one.
That's right.
So now he's down to one team. So I just, for a lot of reasons like that, I wanted to sort of get the word out as quick as I could. And I was a free agent anyway at the end of the year. And honestly, that moment I decided to really take that next step was – during the pandemic, and I don't know, I was on the phone with Don Schumacher wondering what my paycheck was going to be like. The world was shutting down. What's going to happen? I'm a paid race car driver, right? And I'm talking to him about that, and he's on a golf course. And I thought, okay, this isn't, something's not right here. I need to be on that side of it. I need to have control over my destiny. It's time, first of all. But I don't want to be wondering where my next house payment's coming. And I'm talking to somebody about it, and they're on a golf course, and I'm talking to him in between shots. He's worked his butt off. He's a great success business.
I was gonna say he's earned it for sure. So
yeah, he's earned it.
Yeah,
he's earned to go fishing and be on a golf course. So I'm not knocking that, but that was my moment. It would, like you asked earlier, that was the oh shit moment that I need to do something. And that was it.
So you make the call.
It's just like driving here.
You sit down with them and you're like, hey, I think now's the time. I want to put this together. I'm going to run out of my own team. And then he's a little, he can't be completely surprised, right? He's got to know this is maybe a little coming down. And he's just like, you know, maybe tries to talk you out of it a little. I don't know, Ron, is this the right time? Maybe we can do one more season and then we could talk about it. Or are you like, nah.
Well, I was a little privy. Knowing Tony Stewart's an old friend, I've driven in his races and driven his sprint cars before. I was a little privy, and I sort of knew what was going on there, but it wasn't public yet. And I don't even think Don knew about it, nor did Matt Hagen, my teammate, knew he was going to have a chance to go with Tony. So I was kind of privy to a little bit of that backside, and I wanted to let Don know right away. He was quite shocked. I mean, I'll never forget. I mean, you know, it was an emotional thing for me to do. First of all, to tell him after all these years, but he had to understand it. He's a business guy. So that was, it was definitely shock to him. But again, I told him, look, I'd love to keep things here. We knew, and he knew, and I was in a meeting with him that Knapp Auto Parts, after 14 years, probably wasn't coming back. They had a lot of new personnel up as everything happens with these corporations, especially the pandemic and all that. They were maybe looking at doing some other things, and not exactly keeping sponsorship. So there were a lot of things like that. And so he was like, oh, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I got some things, but I can't tell you what they are and this and that. And so it was good timing, because not soon thereafter, they had to break the news that Tony Stewart was going to start his own team and take Leah. And then later on came the Matt Hagen thing. So these bombs kept going off around Don. But luckily, I went and talked to him right away, and I was honest with him about leaving at the end of the year and trying something. So there you go.
Now, with Don Schumacher Racing, your team headquarters is still with their place? I imagine you're using some of their resources, or now just hiring them as a vendor? Or how much is the relationship still there?
Well, the funny thing is, a lot of teams, it's sort of become, you know, it's an in-house shop. It's a 130,000 square foot shop there in Brownsburg, Indiana, on the west side of Indy. If you walk in the shop right now, there is probably five or six teams that Don does not own that are renting space in that shop.
Yeah.
So Antron still rents out of there.
That's what Antron told me, yeah.
Another funny car. You go down the list, there's a whole bunch of them in there, because there's an in-house chassis shop. We build parts there. We make our own engine parts. So there's a lot of things there. So I was, either way, if I did get the funding to buy my own stuff, I was still going to lease it out of there. I opened Ron Capps Motorsports Incorporated in Indiana, because all the team members live there, all the crew chiefs live there, and it's where you have to be. And so I talked to Tony Stewart about maybe sharing some spots, some space. John Forrest has some space. We talked about doing that. Tim Wilkerson I was in talks with a lot of people before I really knew what I was going to do in the end, and that was try to keep everything where I was. So for the fans coming this weekend, which, by the way, we're going to break some news right here, because it just came on my phone as we were coming on, but this weekend, you know, Pomona had the mask whole LA County thing where to come to the race, you had to show a negative test or your vaccination card just to get in, and you're going to have to wear a mask in the grandstands. They just released this morning that's all been gone. The mask mandate at the track will only be indoors, which obviously we don't know. You're not indoors.
Okay.
Race.
Good.
Yeah. And you do not have to show vaccine status at all to come in. So I know there are a lot of message boards and Facebook lit up with fans that weren't going to come because of that. And it's going to be public here in a couple hours. But anyway, there you go. There's your breaking
news.
There
you go. There's no mask mandate.
Great.
Although I'm
good way to start off the year.
I don't know if this is statistically proven, but I am 100% nitro kills everything. So if you got nitro in the air, it's fine. When you go there and you're like, this hot dog tastes like nitro, this beer tastes like nitro. Yeah. I was like, yeah, it kills all diseases and viruses in the air.
So, we need a cologne. Speaking of starting your own venture, we need a cologne that smells like that burnt nitro.
So I swear there is one, right? There's definitely like a candle, which is weird because
somebody
sent me a gift, I think, a while back. You know who it was? Brad, our friend Justin Osmer. He was at Forza Motorsport in Microsoft. He's got his own consulting firm now. But he sent me a gift that was like gasoline, like a fuel scented candles. And I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to light it or not, because I don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Is it a joke candle? Is this going to thing explode? But it was like, it's fuel scented. I was like, actually, it's kind of good. It's pretty good.
Sounds like something out of Anchorman, right?
Yeah, it's something like that. All right, so this is going to be, we're going to be wrapping things up, but come out to the Winter Nationals. It's going to be an exciting program. Not only is the racing going to be tense, but everyone's nerves are going to be tense as well, because everybody seems to have their own team now. And good news, Ron, because we know this is a brand new team, Brad said he's going to cater lunch for your entire team the whole weekend. So I'm pretty sure they're taking care of that. Brad's taking care of that.
As long as Lionel Wieners in a can is good, I'm there.
It's okay? Chick-fil-A for everyone, I think. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where he's rolling around these days. But Brad's on board with that. I'm sure Dave Merrick will throw in as well.
Well, he's bringing the beer.
He's bringing the bar.
He's bringing the bar. After the race.
He's bringing the bar as well. Come out to the race this weekend. What's the program for watching it now? What's the call to action on watching the event?
Yeah, so like I was saying before, the press release of the no mask mandate now at the drag races. I'm going to be, our team will be in the same spot the fans have gone and found me and my team.
Okay.
PSR 10. You'll find the Napa car, same spot. So for all of our fans coming out, if you were coming out as a first timer and never been and you're watching, you're like, wow, I want to check it out. It's an amazing thing. You buy a ticket and it's like going backstage to your favorite rock concert. You are literally, when you buy a ticket to get in the gate, you go anywhere you want. Every ticket's a pit pass. So that's the best thing about NHRA. But we're on Fox. We have been in the last couple of years, just signed a new deal with Fox. So Fox Sports 1, Fox Network. That's the place to find us on weekends. A lot of times Friday Night Lights, which is Friday qualifying throughout the season, you'll find an FS1 in your local bar. And it's always cool to see the Flames. And then Sundays, you catch it on FS1 and Fox Network.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. We wish you the best of luck. I think it's going to be exciting. If you come out to the race, don't forget your earphones, your earplugs. And by the way, if you're not making it to Winter Nationals and you hit some of the other tracks, talk about needing the earplugs. When you guys race four wide, that's an intense experience as well. Where do you do that? What tracks is that? Was that Vegas?
Yeah, so this is obviously a lot of your listeners or any chance to go to Vegas will be a good one. Early April, and I'm not sure the date, but go to NHRA.com and check it out. But early April, it's four wide, which is unbelievable to see live. I mean, it's crazy. And then we do it again in Charlotte. They built a four wide there, and we do that in May. So the Vegas one for your listeners is a nice trip to Vegas. And go watch some four wide drag racing during the day. Go have your fun at night, and it's a great weekend.
It's a great event. Ron, thanks so much. Like I said, congratulations on the new team. It's going to be exciting. We wish you the best. It definitely has to feel great going in as the reigning champ. So you've got that going for you. Rah, 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 right? You can go in there all pumped up. Instagram, you can follow Ron Capps. He's RonCapps28, RonCapps28 on Instagram. And Brad, thanks for joining us. Thanks for filling in for Goldberg. I can barely see you on the camera compared to what I normally get.
just bigger, right?
Do us
hey,
a favor.
Ron, congratulations, man. It's so awesome that you have a new team, and we'll see you out there this weekend, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Brad.
Follow Brad. He's on Instagram as well. He's got 14 or 15,000 Instagram accounts, but follow Bradley _Fanshawe and see his new beard. And you can also follow Bondspeed Wheels on Instagram as well. So,
thank you.
Guys, thank you for that. Of course, follow NHRA as well. Looking forward to it. Hopefully, you'll be at the track. I'm going out, Brad. I think we just decided I'm going out. You're going out.
We're going.
Are you thinking? Oh, Saturday?
I'm going to be out there Saturday for sure.
All right. Yeah, so Saturday I'm going to go out Saturday. So if you see us, please come out and say hi. And as Ron said, every pass is a pit pass. So when you bring those earplugs, make sure you're wearing them when you're walking through the aisles with all of the cars, because you never know when someone's like, fire in the hole, and they gotta blip the throttle on those things. Yeah, so it's fun to see. Also, it's a great family event. That's one of the things about NHRA. I always thought it was just fun to bring the whole family and just experience the whole thing. So looking forward to it. Guys, thanks so much. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.